Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, advanced acupuncture, and Chinese medicine. A whole bunch of stuff.
Big news all day long.
All kinds of stuff to talk about. I want to encourage folks, no guests today. So if you want to, go ahead and feel free to put stuff in the chat. If you want to comment and you're on Zoom, go ahead and just raise your hand or unmute yourself and just talk. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. First breaking news.
Don't say it's true. Do not say it's true.
Yes, Chuck is depressed. Looks like, according to the Associated Press, any moment now, Chris Christie is going to make the announcement he's dropping out of the presidency, the presidential race.
He said he'd never do it.
He might say he was running? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So he'll divvy up his 2 or 3% among the remaining candidates.
I'm not sure. Could that all be because they're fighting in New Hampshire about holding a primary? Is that what that's about?
No, it's about the fact that there is no real Democratic primary, so all the Democrats will vote in the primary.
That's what I'm saying.
The Republican primary, and then if Nikki Haley can get as many as possible, she could have won New Hampshire.
So this is an attempt essentially to rig it for Nikki Haley.
Yes, this is.
This is Sununu trying to rig it for Nikki Haley. Not that anyone would try to rig an election.
No.
Mind you. No, because we all have the gold standard of elections the country. But want to talk about this too. So much to talk about. Today was the first day of the 2024 Colorado legislature.
They're getting together to help solve our problems throughout the state. We could use it.
Right, because I mean, now that we
immigration,
can't...
all the money we need,
plastic bags. There might be some people out there still using plastic bags. There might be people out there still using lawnmowers. Can't have any of that.
Well, did you hear the setback about that? The Fifth Circuit struck down the Biden administration attempting to have dishwashers that had low water rates.
Stop the lawmakers here in Colorado from saying have a gas-powered lawnmower. So many things for them to do. But it is kind of interesting. On the first day of what is an official proceeding, once again, it was disrupted by pro-Palestinian...
Trump people.
Exactly, by Trump people. The FBI immediately arrested them all and is now launching criminal investigations. No. What happened is a bunch of pro-Palestinian protesters broke into the hearing room, started protesting, shut down the official proceeding, and we'll play a videotape. You see the state patrol guy kind of trying to herd him out. But this is what happened on the first day of the legislature. Thomas, if we could please play the protesters clip. For several minutes. So you may say to yourself, well, heck, isn't that an insurrection? Aren't these people trying to interrupt and disrupt
their First Amendment
an official proceeding, and shouldn't the FBI be all over it? Nope. What happened is they told them, eventually they kind of pushed them out, and then they all went on as if nothing could happen. Now, do you see people, Republican lawmakers, we need to have, like Ken DeGraff say, he was cowering in fear underneath his desk, right?
Yes.
We need to have, Mike Lynch saying he had to be escorted out because he was in fear for his life while his son documented the whole thing, right?
Bring in Mike Pence. He can describe the horror of these things are.
Exactly, exactly. And then we could have Jared Polis say he called in the National Guard, the state guard, right, to try to clear the whole thing out. I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? The double standard, and we could talk about that all day, but just thought we'd let you know, the double standard alive and well on the first day of the legislative session here in Colorado. One thing that did not happen, at least as far as I could tell, is earlier we've been talking about Heidi Ginnall setting up the shadow fake grassroots.
This is the big launch day was today. I didn't get an invitation, did you?
No, I did not. So she was supposed to launch her website, Rocky Mountain Voice. She'd been trying to raise $1.2 million, claimed to have raised $600,000 already to launch this sort of shadow party to try to turn the state red and to get all of us grassroots.
Well, pink.
Pink. Well, yeah, grassroots purple, rowing in the right direction. And thank God she was going to be around to tell us what the right direction is. But I did not see anything on it. No announcement of the launch. The news, it was going to be Rocky Mountain Voice. Yeah. Don't see anything about that. So I
Red Horse.
Red Horse, nothing. Zippo. So I don't know what she's doing with the $600,000. I don't know if there ever was $600,000.
She's filming with Fannie Willis and Mr. Wade on vacation.
So. Exactly. So anyway, just look, we'll keep you guys up on that, though, because I do think it is important to talk about that. Because from Leo, will Polis give us all goats to keep in our yards rather than gas lawnmowers? Yeah. Well, fortunately, we have 8 bazillion illegal immigrants, right? And so I guess they...
Lawn services ought to be getting cheap.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that in a second, too. Wait till you hear how much Denver is going to be spending per...
That's a fraction of what it's going to be.
Oh, it's insane. But also wanted to talk about... So let's see. It was 3 days ago that Dave Williams, the Colorado GOP chair, announced he was going to be running for the nomination in CD5 after Doug Lamborn said he wasn't. A few days before that, Ron Hanks announced he was going to be running in CD3, and then Lauren Boebert in CD4, right? Krista Kafer has a new editorial up in the Denver Post saying this is dooming all of the Colorado Republicans.
Oh, no. And they're in such good shape anyway, too, thanks to the rhinos.
Thanks to the rhinos.
Thanks to Krista. And she's such a great Republican trying to keep Trump off the ballot.
Exactly, exactly. So the headlines in the Anschutz's own media in the Denver Post, which is a liberal media organization,
left wing, have
all been screaming since Dave Williams was elected how ineffective, no power, no money, no anything.
Worthless Republican Party.
Worthless Republican Party. Now all of a sudden he announces for CD5, and all of the headlines are screaming dictator. He's going to be a dictator. The all powerful. The suddenly all powerful. Now Dave Williams.
He is chairman of the party. It will paralyze the 5th congressional district, and no one will run against him because. They could have some strong candidates like old Bob Gardner and some
Mike
others.
Paul Lundeen, people like
Paul
that.
Paul Lundeen, Senator Lundeen to you, Julie.
I'm sorry. They have just been trashing the Colorado Republican Party. Well, they trash it no matter what, right? If we don't do anything, they trash it. Then they run. We have strong candidates. Now they trash it. This is the rhino, the establishment wing of the Republican Party are freaking out. And every time you turn around, the Denver Gazette had an editorial today calling it unethical, quoting Christy Burton Brown, who, you know, Miss Financial Malfeasance, calling Dave Williams unethical, right? You've got Krista Kafer, who was trying to keep Trump off the ballot, talking about the Colorado Republican Party.
We must save our democracy.
Right, hurting the 2024 race.
Like, yeah, hurting the race, man, you know. Having not Trump on the ballot, good. Having Dave Williams on the ballot, bad.
But like somehow, like keeping a candidate, the leading candidate off the ballot is somehow good for the 2024 race,
but do you
right?
think in the history of Colorado, ever since 1875, there's ever been an announcement that you're running in a primary that's gotten such amount of publicity? I don't think ever.
Well, and negative publicity.
Well, any kind of publicity. I mean, you know, most congressional districts, Doug Lamborn, when he announced he was running, nobody cared. When they announced he was resigning, nobody cared.
But, and what they care about. And there's another one, a new newsletter that I'm getting. It's called The Lobby. And at first I was like, I wonder where this is coming from. Well, I think it's coming from Roger Hudson, who was censured by the Colorado Republican Party for supporting the Montana legislator who was
Montana
regarding the whole trans issue, right? He was taking the Democrat side.
He was taking the tranny issue.
Right. Yeah. And wanting Colorado legislature to stand up against the Republicans there. But at any rate, so The Lobby, and if you get their newsletter, I was wondering, well, I wonder what their bent is, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
And it's clear they do a story about the CD5, and they kind of talk about everybody else, Wayne Williams, Eli Bremmer, Paul Lundeen, all these people are doing it. And at the very end, they mention, at the time, the only person who had actually announced, which was Dave Williams, and then they trash him. Right. They trash him, saying he's going to be a dictator and taking over the party. So that's what that's coming from. It's just, on one hand, it's ridiculous. But on the other hand, don't you think it shows how scared the establishment is of the grassroots right now? I mean, they're not saying unity. No one's saying that's unify behind Dave Williams, right?
Who knows what the establishment is up to these days? I mean, they're so befluxed and befuddled and everything else.
Well, it goes to my thing. They would rather lose, right? Rather than have some strong candidates in, they would rather lose than let go of their little bit, their teeny tiny bit of power. What they're trying to do, too, I think, is try to force Dave to drop one or the other, and then they can force an election and have the rhinos try to take over again, right? And so,
we need more rhinos.
Yeah. Hey, Charlene, I see you raising your
hand. Yes. Can you hear me?
You can.
We can.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering if they're so afraid of Trump that they know if Dave Williams runs that he can probably get Trump here. And then the world will see in Colorado how many people still love Trump. Like, there'll be like thousands at his rally, but they've been telling us nobody likes Trump anymore. So,
well, that's what Dick Wadden says. The problem last election was not the sterling candidates we had like Joe O'Dea and Pam Anderson. It was Trump. See, all these people said, I love Joe O'Dea, and he hates Trump, but I hate Trump even more, and therefore I'll vote against Joe O'Dea because he
Right, so that's going to dispel that whole myth that nobody likes Trump, and maybe that's what they're really afraid of, is that Trump is going to have a presence now in Colorado campaigning for these candidates, and they don't want the cat out of the bag that Trump is still very popular in Colorado, and I'm just wondering why does the Anschutz and the Koch brothers, why do they dislike Trump so much? Is it because it's they're open borders and cheap labor and globalist, and Trump is not?
You got
I think so.
You got it.
I think, Charlene, there's that.
Literally, they don't like him, too. It's kind of like, did you ever see Caddyshack?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the one guy played by a comedian is loud and honking his horn. And it was everything else. I forget who the comedian who played him, but the loud kid guy at the country club. Oh no, he's coming. That's what Trump is. He's got a lot of gold and he's very loud and everything else. So they go, oh my God, he's just so.
But they liked all that when he wasn't a politician, though. See, they liked that kind of.
Well, they
liked
the money, right?
And they didn't mind his personality when it's just when he got power to affect their bottom line. In terms of treaties and, America First and all that. Yeah. And so, I just don't want to think that they're globalists, but I'm just more and more convinced. And,
you don't think they're globalists? You don't think Phil Anschutz is a globalist? Don't think the remaining Koch brother is a globalist?
Well, I know they are. I know the remaining Koch brother is. But, here's the deal. There's an organization called...
Charlene?
There's an organization called Leadership Program of the Rockies, which I went to, and they steep you in liberty and all that free trade and stuff like that. But there was always that underlying presence of the Koch brother. You would hear someone say, "Well, we met with the Koch brothers," and they're.
What, Charlene? You there? Uh-oh, they censored you.
Uh-oh,
the Koch brother censored you. Here's, and partially answered, there was an interesting, and we've been talking about this, column up in the Hill today, where what it talked about, which is absolutely true, is the flip-flopping of the parties. It used to be the Republicans were the party of the elites and the right. Democrats were the party of the people, right? That's totally flip-flopped.
Well, and you know, that's not the first time. The Republicans used to get all the black votes and then all of a sudden it totally flipped.
Right. And that's what's happening here. And it's been going on for a while, but the Democrats have slowly become the party of the elites.
And the educated and the billionaires.
Exactly. And all of
that. Show business.
Exactly. Because all of those people want money and the Democrats are willing to hand I want power. And the Democrats are like, if you pay us, we'll hand the power over to all of you guys. The Republicans have been becoming the populist party, the party of the people. And under Donald Trump, he just solidified it, right?
Did solidify it. He made jump the rails. I mean, he made his, Tea Party had gotten it part of the way. But once Trump came in, it totally...
Exactly. And I think so that's what's happened. And that's why people like Phil Anschutz and the Koch brothers and, all of those, the Americans for Prosperity, Advance Colorado, all of those so-called conservatives,
caucus,
all of them, they might be conservatives, but they are definitely not populist. I would call that grassroots, right? And that's most of all why
and they're not really conservative. They consider let China win everything and not interfere. Don't interfere with the Chinese taking over America.
Oh, Leo, this is bad, but I'm going to say it because it's a podcast.
Oh, no.
The Koch brothers are like Lance Armstrong's nuts. There is only one left and no one cares. And then Jacob says, apologies to Lance Armstrong. Jacob says, as far as globalism, Trump did something to China that even now China's economy is down 50% since Trump left office. I think China got Biden elected thinking Biden will get China's economy going, but that did not work. This is right. The LinkedIn guy is also pouring money into Nikki Haley's campaign. That's right. And so all of these people, and that's why they hate us. And the main reason I think they're so afraid of us is they understand there are more of us than there are of them.
But they've got more balance.
Yes, but they're printing the ballots. Well, the Democrats do. And that's the thing. They don't care. They would be fine if Joe Biden got elected again, right? Phil Anschutz.
Oh, yeah.
If they can't have Nikki Haley, then he'll take Joe Biden, anybody but Trump. And so it's just funny. And so that trickles down, like Charlene mentioned, here in Colorado, the same establishment organizations all hate Donald Trump and anybody who has anything to do with Donald Trump. And they do. They trout out their tired analysts from, the dark ages who keep trying to pretend that nobody likes Trump in Colorado. And what was the vote, even in 2020, right? To say nobody likes Trump. It's just, he did not win.
Well, in 2016, he lost by 5 points. And in 2020, he didn't contest it. He didn't campaign here. He had Jefferson Thomas.
The polls still say that Trump is more popular in Colorado than...
Emerson poll, it's the only one statewide is taken, and it shows Biden's ahead 4%. Well, that doesn't come from Democrats voting for Trump. I mean, Democrats still like Biden. So it's an enormous percentage of Republicans as well as independents.
Right. So they're all afraid of that. As I keep saying on the show, we have to stay together. We have to stay strong because they're not just going to say, unity. They're not just going to say, this establishment wing is not just going to say, oh, well, I guess we'll let Dave Williams and Lauren Boebert and Ron Hanks become congressional leaders, right? They will not do that. If I were those guys, I wouldn't be careful. Pianos falling from buildings, things like that. So we'll keep you posted on that. But it's just
Lauren Boebert's husband coming up.
It's just been ridiculous listening to them scream. And again, it's just so funny because on the one hand, all they've done is spent months talking about how worthless Dave Williams is, and he can't raise any money, he can't do any of this. Which is true. They're powerless.
Now it's the all powerful chair.
Dictator. Jacob, I didn't get a chance to listen to it. It's been a busy morning. Julie, I sent you the link to Bill O'Reilly's interview with that guy that the ballots were picked up from the various voting centers and delivered to nursing homes to be voted on and taken back to the polling centers. The illegality of this was that the ballots were not originally mailed to the voters. Exactly. And the Gateway Pundit has some stuff on, too, with a whistleblower talking about collecting ballots. So all of that is going on. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, too, this was kind of fun. And it is also a reason The Hunter Biden stuff today, right?
That keeps on giving.
The gift, yes. So Hunter, the House is, you know, they subpoenaed Hunter Biden to appear before them to answer questions, right? He showed up, held the news conference, but refused to go in. So they're holding a hearing today to decide whether to pass a resolution to send it to the whole floor
for a contempt
for a contempt resolution, right? So who shows up at the contempt resolution? Hunter Biden.
Well, there's two lawyers. Abby,
lawyers and his sugar daddy pimp, right? It's kind of like, okay, and he sits there. Now, it could be in part for the documentary. He's doing a documentary about what a great guy he is.
Yeah, that's going to be big.
But the for the most part, just the contempt that he does have for Congress, right? And I hope those Republican Congress people, maybe he knows they're not going to do anything to me, you know?
Well, the Justice Department isn't.
Right, right. It's like, so, but some of the, Nancy Mace, Republican from South Carolina, let him have it. And this is great. If we could please play the Nancy Mace video.
Question is, who bribed Hunter Biden to be here today? That's my first question. Second question, you are the epitome of white privilege, coming into the Oversight Committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be deposed. What are you afraid of? You have no balls to come up here and...
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry.
Mr. Chairman,
if the gentlelady wants to hear from Hunter Biden, we can hear from him right now, Mr. Chairman. Let's take a vote and hear from Hunter Biden. What are you afraid of?
Hold on. Order.
Are women allowed to speak in here or no? Are women allowed to speak in here or no? Because you keep interrupting me.
I'll interrupt the chairman. I don't know that he's a lady.
I think that that Hunter Biden should be arrested right here, right now, and go straight to jail. Our nation is founded on the rule of
come
law.
Come on.
And the premise that the law applies equally to everyone, no matter what your last...
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
So that's like... So, I mean, it's just insane that Hunter Biden... Oh, okay. Charlene lost the audio. Okay, Charlene, raise your hand and come back on if you want to. But it is astonishing that you showed up. I mean, what do you make of it?
Well, you know, I think he wants to get back in. I mean, he wants to be the center of attention. I mean, you know, he's gotten off the coke maybe, yeah, and the crack and everything else, and the trouble is no one to control him. Normally, you'd have a president in the White House, and he'd say to somebody, or he'd call his son up, to cut it out.
Yeah.
You know, quit making news and making you look bad. You know, they're going to cover this instead of Trump. Just stay home, find a hoe, and leave everybody alone. But no, he's just marching in and sashaying around. It's great stuff.
And London outside and held another news conference. His lawyers did, right?
Yeah, they read a statement. Abby Lowell did.
And then Jacob says, why didn't the House Sergeant of Arms arrest Biden right there? Well, yeah, you know, again, to me, it says two things. One, like you said, Hunter Biden is out of control.
Right.
I got to imagine, I mean... That if you're Joe Biden, this is not helpful to your reelection campaign, because every time it comes up again, they're going to hold him in contempt of court. Well, why do they want to hold him in contempt of court? Because they want to question him about the Biden crime family, right? And so that kind of gets all brought up again. I'm pretty sure that if somebody had called, if his people had called the White House and said, hey, we're thinking of showing up at the contempt of court hearing, somebody might have said, no, please, please, well, Hunter.
Talk to the Department of Defense.
Talk to White House. Oh, wait, he's sick. We can't talk to him.
Oh, no.
Well, I haven't even talked about that. But I think the other thing it does show, though, is that he is in contempt of Congress, and probably with good reason. Because like you said, Jacob, why didn't the Sergeant of Arms? That's the way they handle Republicans, right? Arrest him first and then figure out whether you should have done it or not later, right? Why not just do that? Make him file a lawsuit to say you can't arrest me, right? They took all these January 6th people who weren't even, now they're talking about arresting anyone who was anywhere there,
10
right?
Miles.
Within 40 miles of the Capitol. I mean, they have no problem, but he knows the Republicans won't do anything, right? Because they're too busy folding to do budget bills, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want, but that's a whole other subject.
No, don't bring that up.
But I think that's just an interesting thing. And then Charlene says, Jacob, because Congress is controlled by the cabal, not the people. Exactly. And then Jacob says, the Sergeant of Arms was busy with the donut, mm-hmm. Leo glazed or old fashioned. Well, yeah, you look at the Capitol Police, it's like they, you know, worry about insurrections. Not really. So that was another interesting
thing. That was a good one.
Another interesting thing going on here and nationally And so Denver, sanctuary city, is having issues with all of the
illegal. They are not. We're organized. We're getting ready. We just want to have it orderly. If the people in Texas could tell us when to greet our new neighbors, it'd be wonderful.
Well, here's the thing. So some apparently that we know of that they've counted 37,000 illegal immigrants have come to Denver since the beginning of the year.
Excuse me?
What?
You say?
Oh, illegal immigrants.
These are wonderful.
These are Democrats. These are
unregistered to be Democrats. They are migrants. We are a country of migrants.
We've had 37,000 newly registered, and they don't even know it, Democrats come to Denver in the past several months. Roughly right now, Denver is housing that they know of some 4,500 a night. My question is, where are these people going? And I bet they leave now that we're about to have a cold snap. And so what Denver has been doing is they've been kicking homeless people out of shelters.
Well, now what
can
that
do? They're putting
talk about a two-tiered system.
Exactly. So
all American homeless are getting kicked out for these Guatemalans.
Or Venezuelans, Chinese, Somalians, you name it.
Yeah, whatever they are.
But this is tragically having a pinch on the Denver budget. So now,
Julie,
it is.
There was a study, I think, came out this last weekend of how much the new migrants add to our economy. So we don't need anything. Oh, they're costing us money.
And what editorial regime did that appear in? Denver Gazette.
Denver Gazette.
So Phil Anschutz's company did a story about the massive, and unexpected financial benefits that the illegal immigrants bring, way outweighing the costs and benefits.
We love migrants, Julie, not illegal immigrants.
So that answers your question about that, Charlene, that, I mean, and then even in the story, the reporter was clearly embarrassed. They're like, no, there are some people who could interpret this differently. It's like, you think? But at any rate, that's a good point, Chuck. If they're bringing all this money in, then Mike Johnson doesn't need to cut the budget.
He could boost all the departments underneath.
That's right, but he wants to cut it $180 million.
That's ridiculous.
So when you do the math, that's 4,500 immigrants a night we're housing, and not to mention the kids that are going to school. That's $40,000 a year per immigrant.
Oh, that's just from last night.
Why don't we?
Last night.
Yeah, but think of it. So, City of Denver, it needs to cut services allegedly to its citizens,
How
the taxpayers.
How do you cut services without cutting employees?
Well, you just don't have the employees do anything. I don't know.
You still have to pay him, don't you?
Yeah. Here's the thing. He's not thinking of it. He's asking the departments to figure out how to do it. I already know they're not picking up trash as much as they used to in Denver. They're not cleaning out the bathrooms at parks and all kinds of things. They have all kinds of issues in Denver.
Yeah, okay.
But he did not suggest, you know, that Biden maybe do something about the border. There was no suggestion of that. It's like, this is a crisis, a humanitarian crisis. And it's a typical Democrat creating crisis.
Credit, to Johnson's credit, I mean, you know, Johnson in Chicago and Eric Adams in New York are crying foul. They're saying we can't go on like this. Johnson isn't. He's saying, oh, yeah, give me more. And so we out here in the front range will get more and more and more.
Immigrants are unregistered Democrat voters?
To be registered Democratic voters. So, you know, he's not whining. He's not a whiner. He's a doer.
He's a doer. And from Charlene, and this is exactly it. Those 37,000 will be sent ballots to special addresses that someone else will fill out. Exactly.
Yes. Oh, perfect.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Oh. And from Leo, breaking news, Chris Christie just dropped out.
Oh, he was so good. He was so good. Oh, no.
Well, there we go. Vivek, from Charlene, Vivek finished Christie off. And then Jacob, 43% of the new hires in Denver are over the age of 60 and are pensioners. Their pensions are not keeping up with inflation. Nothing's keeping up with inflation.
Yeah. How about your 401k?
That's because the younger people, they don't have to work because it is so difficult and stressful to work. I mean, when do you have time to go to happy hour if you have to work, right?
That's right. When do you get the yoga?
Jacob, Chris Christie dropped off. That must have been quite an earthquake. But back to the immigrant thing, and keep reading the comments. This is kind of a free flowing show. Right. And again, if you want to call in.
The sanctuary of ideas.
That's right. 888-627-6008. In New York, it's even worse what they decided to do. Now, here in Denver over the summer, I have some friends who were complaining that they were closing the rec centers in certain parts of Denver to house illegal immigrants.
Right. And you couldn't use the rec center. Your workout or the well-being of a new American.
And so what's happened in New York, they've closed at least one high school, James Madison High School.
Well, I can't believe it still has that name.
Well, yeah, really. They don't change. They've closed it because it's now going to be housing illegal immigrants. And initially they said
they can educate them there too.
Right. Well, they can't because no teachers are there. Because
that's not necessary.
No. I mean, I don't know why the teachers.
They can go online.
I don't know why the teachers. Well, no, they can't go online. Because and that just came out today from Libs of TikTok. They're not going to do online unless the student specifically requests it and the teacher says, okay, I can do it.
Sure. I can see you, Rev. Oh, yeah, let me have that English class.
So now we know what happens when we send the kids home from school. Did we not just come out of a pandemic? And you talk about
they read and study and engage in community projects for the betterment of everyone.
So what are we going to do? We're going to close the American schools so that we can house illegal immigrants who are, for the most part, you know, military age cartel dealers, really, when you get right down to it, single men. These are, I mean, that's who's coming here. Who, I mean, it's just
if we can get them some money.
$40,000.
Well, no, I mean direct cash to these guys. You know, one of those credit cards that give the government.
Oh yeah.
We will have an influx of prostitutes. So because that's all these guys and no women. So, boy, if you wanted to have it's like Davos. Right now in Davos, they say that an incredible influx of high priced prostitutes going there because most of the people flying to Davos are male, and so you know. But here, you know, you could open an escort service for non-English speaking people. Boy, would that take off?
Maybe.
Seems what do you mean maybe?
Entrepreneur. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the demographics and the analytics are on illegal immigrants / newly registered Democrat voters and prostitution. I'm not. But
I can tell you what the demographics are on 18 to 22 year old males. Without any family away from home to their new home, do you think that they may seek services?
I don't know. That's a good point.
I mean, if you can't figure that one out.
All right, we've got Sherry from Lakewood on line one. Hey,
all right, Sherry.
Thank you for calling in.
Hi. So I kind of wanted to, Julia said this many times, that there's more of us than there are of them.
Not anymore.
And so I wanted to comment on that because from Dr. Lee Merritt, I listened to her, and I found this interesting. She said that in 2011, Glatzfelter, a Swiss economist, looked at all the corporations in the world. And back in 2011, there was 137 million of them at that time. So that was about the time supercomputers became available for the average guy. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to know who's really controlling all these corporations. Are they really all independent or are they related? Mm-hmm. And they discovered that those 137 million corporations were owned by 147 companies. And then Forbes matched that and said that the 147 companies were owned or controlled by 10 big banking firms. And there's four big funds that control those banking firms, and they are all controlled by 150 men.
Wow.
So at that time in 2011, 85% of all the money in those corporations was in the hands of 150 men. Which is, I found that fascinating.
You know, and I bet, Sherry, I mean, that's great information. And it's probably not that much different. I mean, you look at BlackRock, you look at, you know, the hedge funds, you look at the Davos people, right? You look at the World Economic Forum people. And that's what I mean when I say there are more of us than there are of them. To a great extent, I think I'm speaking kitchen table kind of issues, right? Most people care who have children care about their children. Most people are not in the 1%, right? Most people don't have a Harvard worthless, you know, doctorate degree. And I think the thing is, most of us are busy just wandering around living our life. But I think COVID really woke people up. I think what's happening to the education system. And finally, I think what's happening to the economy. I was at the grocery store And my son likes these little single pizza things, right? And I was get so I get like a million of them a week.
Okay.
Yeah. And the checkout clerk, well, you know, after a while you get to recognize this thing. She goes, your son really likes these. I'm like, yeah. I said, but you know, they like doubled in price. And she's like, oh, you aren't kidding. And then she just kind of went off on all, I mean, so there are more people like us who get what happens at the grocery store.
But there are only 150 people who have all the money.
Yeah. So that's
but what's great. Interesting with what you're saying, if you ever look at a breakdown of, I tend to go like to natural foods and eat more of the organic stuff. And if you start looking at brands, yeah. Those get all, they're being bought up like crazy. And it's only a very few companies that own, so you think you have a choice, but it's right. Only a very few companies that own all of it, just like the media. You think you're getting, you know, oh, channel what? But then you watch some of these things and it's like, oh my gosh, they're all saying the same thing and using the same words and owned by the same people.
Well, exactly. No, you're right. I mean, I think it's no accident that isn't it true? Bill Gates now owns more farmland than anybody else in the United States. And right below him is China. Now, why would that be? Why would that be, do you think? No, you're, and so that's a thing. And we need to remember that. And that's, again, why they're fighting so hard, right? I mean, I do actually really worry about this election because, I mean, they can count too, they being the other side. So, hey, Sherry, great phone call.
Oh, yeah, good show call.
That's great. Charlene is saying, if you're listening, Sherry, BlackRock, Vanguard, et cetera, Sherry knows what's going on.
Yeah, there you go.
Here's from Jacob. All of the immigrants are getting money and the fire victims in Louisville can't get money to rebuild. Isn't this a great country? That's right. From Charlene, drug cartels need a bigger market with guaranteed government income. That's an interesting point, Charlene. That's
more,
good point.
Drug mules.
All right, Charlene, you dropped out so you can.
Oh, you're back.
You're back. Go ahead.
Okay. Charlene. I'm going to try not to hit anything this time. Okay. You know what Sherry was talking about? I heard the repeat of George Carlin like 40 years later, and he's telling someone, he said, you know, all these people are in the same club and they go to the same universities, same Ivy League schools, and they do what's in their best interest. And he said, right now there's, like she said, like 30 corporations, multinationals. And he said, and there's four banks. And he said, and they control everything. He said, but they give you 27 ice cream flavors to give you the illusion of choice, that we have so much choice in this country when we really don't. Our choices are really predetermined for us. And, you know, the movie that really portrays that the best, and there were mixed reviews because it's like the, you know, the leftists thought it was a far right movie and the right thought it was for the left. It was Don't Look Up.
Yes.
And it was about like 300 people that had their getaway. You know, it was like a satire, but it had so many elements.
It was written by a guy in Colorado. What is his name?
David Sirota.
Yeah, David Sirota. Right.
Oh, okay. It had so many elements of truth. And they were trying to, they had their getaway bunkers, and except they were going to another planet.
Right.
And then they had all these characters like, you know, like Yellen and, you know, WF characters that they were, you know, imitating. And then it just showed that they know what's going on, and they know they're going to have to, you know, bug out somewhere, and they've got plans for that. And that movie is just the perfect portrayal of it. And sometimes they tell us these things,
yes.
You know, like they do in what's that that show that originates out of Colorado?
South Park,
like they do in South Park. They tell us these things ahead of time. But I just wanted to ask Chuck on that movie, Barbie, was it the same type of movie where the left could get something out of it and then the right could get something out of it too that was satisfying?
No. Nope. It's all anti-male. But it's well done. The difference is it's, you know, you can have a anti-male fun movie. You can have any female movie and it could be fun if it's well done. Barbie is well done. It is funny, but it is not one where you go and say, I wonder where they are on the political scale.
Okay. So they're kind of diminishing the role of men in culture.
A little bit, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not even going to watch it then. Okay.
Toward the end, Barbie does tell Ken he should find his own way, but it's kind of.
Oh, well, that's so nice.
Ken was going to be
allow him that opportunity to find his own way, to give him the power to do that.
And, you know, here's Charlene, you know, we're roughly the same age, I think. And
25?
Yeah, 25. And one of the things that
39.
Yeah, 39. No, well, that's still ahead. But one of the things it talks about, it goes on and on about how there's this one speech that how women are oppressed, right? And I'm like, not anymore. They're not oppressed, right? It's, you look at the positions that women hold, and even when I was younger and just starting out, there was a little bit of that, but not much. I mean, I think in our mother's generation, but for me to have these people still keep harping on, oh, women are oppressed and men have all the power. It's like,
you get an opportunity to work to death your entire life, raise a family, raise kids, go have a divorce, end up lonely, old, and broke. And now you're free. You're finally free.
That's freedom. Yes. Okay. Well, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Charlene. Bye-bye. Yeah. Oh, this is from Jacob. I bet Denver raises its rates for garbage pickup and wastewater. You know it, Jacob. You know it, because they need all of those newly or soon to be registered Democrats coming in.
They couldn't come registered Democrats do some of the pickup, but no.
From Leo, anyone notice that Christie only did appearances in cities with golden corrals? Did not notice that. What else do we want to talk about? This is
Fannie Willis.
Okay. Go.
Go. Fannie Willis. Okay, Fannie Willis is the DA in Fulton County, and she saw all the terrible
prosecuting Trump
and 11 other people or 17
and
other
election
people.
Election stuff.
And she hired this guy named Wade, and he's a very good trial lawyer, we're told, and he's excellent. We've just learned, however, that actually it was her illicit lover, Wade, who she gave the contract to. The day before he filed for a divorce, his wife filed for divorce with him, and she's paid him close to $700,000. And with that money, that's allowed them to go on Viking cruises and to the Barbados and many, many, many fine places.
So wait, let me say that this straight. So the corrupt prosecutor in Fulton County hires her secret married boyfriend to investigate Donald Trump.
Yes.
Pays him hundreds of thousands of dollars.
$654,000.
Which the two of them then use not to investigate Trump, but to go on lavish vacation.
Well, sometimes, I mean, because he'd go up to Washington and talk to Biden's counsel.
Clearly coordinating.
So they can coordinate with the president against his opponent. So it's all on the up and up. And this stuff is, you know, we don't want to have our dirty laundry aired. I mean, come on, you know.
You're racist, Chuck. You're being racist sexist.
It is.
Racist and sexist.
Yeah, can't she have some fun? I mean, she's a damn DA and she works hard.
She works hard prosecuting Trump. Yeah. Well, another thing too, talking about the Trump prosecution, I don't know if you guys heard. So earlier in the ongoing civil case against Trump, right? I think the judge had initially told Trump he could do his own closing arguments, but now has changed his mind. And then so sadly, Trump's mother-in-law, Melania's mother, died yesterday. And Trump said the closing arguments are scheduled for tomorrow. Can they postpone that for funeral stuff and things like that? And the judge said no. The judge said no. Now, you're a lawyer. Normally, if you were in court and I mean, particularly in a case like this where the judge has made up his mind, right? So what difference does it make? I mean, they would, in my experience, that's a kind of thing that normally there would an allowance would be made for.
Normally, or if the prosecutor's mother just died, or the defense attorney's died, unless it screwed their calendar up. And this guy doesn't have a calendar, so.
Right, exactly. So there's that. And then the most egregious, I think, double standard that we've seen recently is Ray Epps. Now, we've all seen, and we played on our show, and Tucker Carlson did a great job, the video of some guy by the name of Ray Epps outside the Capitol urging everyone to go into the Capitol, throwing signs at police officers, clearly instigating stuff. And for 2.5 years, the FBI, while they were busy rounding up everybody else.
Never arrested us. Everybody's saying, what about Ray Epps? What about Ray Epps? So finally, they go, all right, they arrest Ray Epps, and they... Oh, he's been so cooperative.
Yeah, he's been
so cooperative. We can't put him in jail, not Ray Epps.
So they charged him with a misdemeanor. Apparently, he's
being... I guess he's going to sue Tucker Carlson because his life is...
Well, he too is being sued. Bizarrely, rather than having to show up in court like every other January 6th person, right? He gets to do it by Zoom. He got to Zoom it in, apparently because they received word that he was going to be served with a subpoena for a lawsuit by a January sixth person. So, you've got that. But what he got, one year probation, no jail time. Now you've got people sitting in jail for
22 years.
I mean, not doing as much as Ray Epps did, right? $500 restitution.
How much?
$500.
Yes. All right. Suck it to them.
And 100 hours of community service.
Wow.
And
about
the prosecutors admitted during the sentencing that probably what he did were felonies, right?
Yeah.
He was the victim. He's the victim here
of conspiracy
theories and things like that. So
the judge was Boasberg. Now, you might not remember that name, but he was the one in the FISA court. He was on the FISA court approving all of the fake
Trump warrants.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So talk about crooked, and they're hiding it even less.
No,
I'm sorry.
You are causing people to lose trust in your institution.
Ooh, I'm an insurrectionist.
You're a trust buster.
You're a trust buster. What else was going on? Oh, this was funny too, I thought. The headline in Politico, this is kind of a funny joke. Okay, so there's a headline in Politico today with all the Epstein stuff coming out, right? Why are far right conspiracy theorists obsessed with sex trafficking, right? Why far right conspiracy theorists are obsessed with sex trafficking? And Scott Adams, the comedian on Twitter, said, I will translate that. What that means is the sex trafficking problem is bigger than we know, and important Democrats are involved. I think that's true. It's like, why? I mean, bizarrely, rather than write about or ignore it, right? I mean, the Daily Mail kind of, and the Epstein stuff coming up, I will simply say this. It appears to me clear. I mean, in some of the Florida documents, they admit that he was an intelligence asset, right? So it seems to me that Epstein, whether he maybe started out on his own and had a little blackmail thing going, right? Or maybe it was all part of a FBI, CIA app to begin with. That's apparently Israel, Mossad, things like that involved. Lots of stuff going on there, right? The only person, at some point, there's pressure enough so they arrest Epps. Then he mysteriously dies. Tucker Carlson and his brother say it was not suicide. But the only person in jail really is Ghislaine Maxwell. Yeah. Oh, we got Jacob raising his hand. Jacob, go ahead.
Maxwell, the father, Robert Maxwell, actually committed suicide because they thought he was working for Mossad in Russia. But he is buried at the Mount Olive Cemetery in Israel, which I thought was pretty surprising.
Yeah, that's kind of
weird. Maybe it's her connection with Mossad.
Who? Ghislaine? I have no idea. But she could be, you know, they follow their parents' footsteps. So you never know.
Do a prisoner exchange.
Where I was going with that, too, is don't you find it odd that, I mean, so if he's running this, you know, illicit and pedophile sex rings, so someone is being serviced, right? And so my question is twofold. Number one, those guys don't just stop. Who's the new sex ring king, right? Number one.
Yeah.
And number two, why aren't any of the men in behind bars? Why is there such a lack of interest in figuring
out?
Well, they did put a man in prison and they killed him.
That's true.
And instead of looking at any of that, though,
she's still alive. So what is she complaining about?
Right. Instead of looking at that, they're writing columns about far right. We're far right conspiracy theorists. It's like,
talking about Epstein. Yeah, sure you did.
Well, Paul, what's his name? The attorney general. Who was the Trump's attorney general? Just pull him. They say he knows everything that's going on.
Bob Barr.
Yeah. He knows everything.
Well, I'm sure he does. You know, it's like, but he's not going to tell her, else he'll end up like Epstein, you know. So, hey, Jacob, thank you for that.
I didn't know that.
All right. But I think that is interesting. And, you know, I don't know. You hear stuff about Pizzagate and this and that. It's clear, though, from this, because that's why Ghislaine Maxwell is behind bars, that they were running a sex ring with underage girls.
Well,
right?
You're on the new one, you're the Asian one, with the Asian high ring. Prostitute one. So maybe that
Ring
took over.
The FBI. That
now
could
they
be.
Need, now they need another one.
Right. And clearly Epstein
and
had.
You don't know whether hundreds of thousands of single males in the early 20s and teens what might attract prostitutes. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Well, no, I mean, but these are organizations that are aimed at high-end people. High-end influential people.
High-end, you know, they got a lot of cash, but other guys can contribute.
But it is interesting that here again there's this complete lack of curiosity on anyone's part, including the investigators, as to who the men were. Because it seems to me it'd be fairly easy to. These women are, you know, the so-called victims.
Are
in the Daily Mail every day, right? You'd think you'd call them up and say, "Who were some of these guys?" Yeah. Right? But they don't. Instead, they allow these weird leak of documents. But in the meantime, though, again, Politico, why far-right conspiracy theorists are obsessed with sex trafficking?
Yeah.
And again, Scott Adams, I just thought this was brilliant. Because he says that means the sex trafficking problem is bigger than we know. Important Democrats are involved. They're going to start talking about QAnon any minute now, right? They're going to say QAnon, sex trafficking conspiracy.
The Q.
Election denier, sex trafficking conspiracy theorist. This is where they're going to go with that next. So I don't know.
I don't know. That's it, Julie. We're cutting you off. Your day is over.
Yeah. Oh, Jacob, when Ghislaine started with Epstein, she was tending bar. Now she's behind bars. No big deal. Leo's going to start prepping for Party Friday.
All right.
Some fun sound for Party Friday, too, guys. Yeah, that will do it for us. And we will see you on Party Friday.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.